This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Shaning and Roshan Kanison. It is 7.06 in the morning, Monday the 6th of January. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be taking a look at the contenders in the Kimanis by-election following nomination day on Saturday. But before that, let's take a look at the markets.
So global markets are on edge, not surprisingly, following the US drone strike that killed top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani on Friday. And as a result, most indices closed last week in the red. Nikkei was down 0.8%, the Hang Seng was down 0.3%, Shanghai Composite was down 0.1%, and Singapore STI was down 0.4%. However, on the green side, we have the KOSPI and the FBMK-LCI that were both up 0.6%, seeming to ignore the geopolitical tensions there. Now, the uptick in the FBMK-LCI was a response to the rising Brent crude prices, which rose 3.5% to $68 a barrel on Friday. And on the US side of things, the NASDAQ and the Dow were both down 0.8%, and the S&P 500 not too far behind there, down 0.7%.
Meanwhile, the it's as a result of what you just mentioned, right? Tensions between the U.S. and Iran ratcheted up following the assassination of Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad on Friday. Now, U.S. President Donald Trump said that the strike was in response to imminent threats against Americans. The U.S. alleged that the general was actively developing plans to attack U.S. diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. Despite earlier saying that strikes against the general was not meant to start a war, President Donald Trump has said that since then, more than 50 Iranian sites could be hit if Tehran retaliates against the killing of Qasem Soleimani.
So Iran, unsurprisingly, has reacted with anger and has vowed retaliation because Qasem Soleimani was a highly regarded figure in Iran and was seen by some as being groomed for a leadership position. Last night, Iran announced that it would no longer abide by any of its commitments to the 2015 nuclear accord. Now, Iraq, who is an ally of both the US and Iran, has also condemned the attack on its soil. In response to the assassination, the Iraqi parliament has passed a non-binding resolution expelling American troops from the country, which was the front page of the Sinaharian this morning.
Yeah, I think this is part of their withdrawing that 2014 agreement to help fight IS in the region. Now, we'll have more analysis with Dr. James Dorsey, senior fellow at the S.J. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute in about half an hour. And we've got a poll running on our Twitter. Are you concerned over the escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran? And your choice of answers over there, yes, no, somewhat, and it won't affect us. Let us know what you think, and we'll go through the poll in about half an hour.
And meanwhile, for more on how markets are reacting to these developments, we turn to Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Stephen. So all eyes are on the Middle East now as tensions between the US and Iran skyrocket. Do you see this as a temporary scare for markets, or do you think the geopolitical risks are going to continue into the medium term?
Yeah, it's always one thing to try to Monday morning quarterback this issue, especially as to what Iran may or may not do as far as retaliation. But clearly, Trump and his war hawk administration are shunning any global calls for restraint here, and it looks like they're going to continue to ratchet higher the ultimate maximum pressure approach, which is the threat of a full-scale war on Iran. I think Trump is basically honoring his line in the sand, which is zero tolerance for killing Americans. And that is pretty clear cut. This moved him from sort of a type of a pacifist where he wasn't really looking to create any waves in the Middle East. But now he's on the warpath. I think this is going to be a major foreign policy. I think foreign policy is going to be a major issue on the election as we move forward. This is the big deal here. After the killing of Soleimani, it's pretty clear it's going to be very difficult to put the war genie back in the bottle. So I'm a little bit more concerned. Markets are reacting quite negatively to the latest headline news, and I think this is how it's going to play out. It's going to play out in the headlines, and that's really what's going to drive market sentiment for the next little while.
And already this morning, we can see that Brent crude is up 1% due to this increased geopolitical tensions. How do you think this is going to impact emerging markets and even currencies?
It's actually negative for most of the emerging market currencies, because especially in Asia here, because there's a lot of the countries are net importers of oil. You know, we look at South Korea, for instance. It's, I guess, about 77% of its oil from the Middle East, and that's quite a big chunk. And a lot of the other countries like Japan, China, India are oil dependent. Even countries like Malaysia, that do export oil, but they still import a lot of oil. It's sort of a double-edged sword. Certainly, some of the constituents, oil and gas constituents in the KLCI, are going to do well by higher oil prices. But, it's still the fact that energy prices are going higher, and that's not great for consumers. And I think we've got to be a little bit careful up here. This is getting driven mostly on Middle East war premiums, and it's not really supply disruption. So it's a little bit more difficult to quantify here. Obviously, if we do get a supply disruption through some type of military act like we did, that we saw at the Aramco facility in Saudi Arabia a couple of months ago, then we'll see oil prices ratchet considerably higher on a knee-jerk. Looking at the backdrop, however, there's still a lot of spare capacity in OPEC, because you have to remember that OPEC is certainly in supply compliance mode, and we also have shale. Shale, in my view, changes the way that we really analyze oil risk in the Middle East, because of shale's ability to ramp up, especially when prices go above $60 WTI. We're trading around 64 today. So this emboldens WTI producers to pump more oil.
So with all this in mind, how are these geopolitical tensions factoring into your investment decisions at this stage? Are you positioning your portfolios back to a risk-off mode?
Well, the one thing here, you have to look at how the equity markets are reacting, and they're not really signaling massive risk off here. I think oil prices right now aren't threateningly high enough to harm consumer behavior or even wilt, in my view. Global growth green shoots that are forming. Of course, war is hell, but it's not necessarily bad for stocks. U.S. markets tend to rally whenever U.S. begins military operations overseas. And then, as I mentioned, cross-asset risk traders sort of view oil risk in a different light these days because of shale. Ultimately, where I think we're one asset that blossoms in this market has got to be gold. I think given that the risk assets are so elevated right now, the gold's glittering appeal is going to take on even more luster. And I think this is why we're seeing gold react, jumping another $25 at the open today. I think we're going to attract more buyers because of this uptick in geopolitical risk. I think it was the direction of travel was correct in the first place. Gold is moving higher into this year, given all the macro uncertainties. And this just adds to its luster. So I think that's the primary asset that investors are seeking safety under right now.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And that was Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader, giving us his outlook on oil as well as gold and other emerging markets and currencies in the wake of the political tensions between Iran and the US.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.